With God's help, for this afternoon's meditation hour, let us read together from the Gospel according to St. Mark, from chapter 14. It's a lengthy chapter, so I would like to start reading on verse 26. St. Mark chapter 14, beginning on verse 26, and let's end on verse number 50. Sveto evanđelje po Marku, 14. glava, početak čitanja želim da bude na 26. stihu do 50. stiha. St. Mark chapter 14, beginning on verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and begun to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and he said unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayed me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. I had read up to and including the verse number 50. Let us all together kneel now before our Heavenly Father and give him thanks. The book of life is open before us, even in this afternoon hour. But our heart also has to be open to gladly receive the words of life. So let us open our mind and our heart, look into it, and gladly receive what God has to offer unto us. God has the living words, words of life, encouragement, love, mercy, and grace. Anytime we open it, we read it, we can find joy, encouragement, strength, all that we need so that we can prosper in faith, so that we can receive and have that everlasting life, the kingdom of God, which he has promised unto all of us, all of those who are faithful, who are willing to serve him and to obey him. This portion of the chapter, very lengthy chapter, even though Mark was known when he wrote the gospel, many of the chapters that he wrote, he did not go much into details. And yet, even this chapter is very, very lengthy. There's so much going on. And as we read this morning, it was just prior to this event here, where Jesus knew that the hour was come. It was getting very, very close. And he was preparing himself and the disciples for what will happen this night. And he prayed, as we read this morning, to our Heavenly Father, glorifying him and asking God to save his disciples and all of us. So he did have the Last Supper, the Passover, with his disciples, as all the Jews did. And right after it was done, he was accustomed to sing a song, a psalm. So they did. We know what took place, how he knew and he mentioned to his disciples that one of you will betray me. Now many of them, maybe all of them said, "Is it I?" Even Judas Iscariot. Even he said, "Is it I?" And Jesus said, "You said it." I'm not sure if he knew what he will do, but I don't think the other disciples really realized what he was about to do, betray innocent blood. So as they sung a hymn, it said that they went out into Mount of Olives. They came, that was the place where he often resorted with his disciples. He spent many hours with his disciples there. And Judas knew that place very well. And for him, this was a good opportunity to betray him, to tell the scribes and those that will take him where to go. And he actually came with them because he knew where the place was. It says that they came to the Mount Olive. Actually, they came to the Garden of Gethsemane, right below the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said unto them, he says, this night, he's reminding them of something that will happen. He says, this night, all of you shall be offended. And he even tells them, it's written, Zacharias in chapter 13. Let me just read that, I think it's one verse, the Old Testament. Zechariah, the prophet, prophesied about this evening, this night. In chapter 13, verse 7, he says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, said the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones." And Jesus here is quoting the Bible, the prophecy, telling them what will happen. And then he says, after they will all be scattered this evening hour, he says, after that I'm risen, he knew that he will have to die, he would have to be sacrificed, but after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. He's promising them and telling them to meet there after he's risen. But Peter, not really listening, being very bold, as even Brother mentioned this morning, but Peter being bold, he loved Jesus very much. He was zealous. He loved God and Jesus. He believed. He had faith. And yet he didn't realize how weak he was and how much he lacked his faith and strength that he needed until he was converted. He says, although all shall be offended, he actually belittled the rest of the disciples, saying, they probably will scatter and run away from you, but me, never. Although all shall be offended, all of the disciples, yet will not I. As soon as you say I, you fail. When we think highly of ourselves, we are done. When we think, as Apostle Paul says, him that thinketh that he standeth, to be careful lest he fall. So if we think that we are standing, that we are strong, that we're not movable, we cannot be moved, we are ready, then we fail. Because we trust in our own might and strength, not in God. So this is exactly what happened to Peter. Yet will not I be offended. So now Jesus, being calm and loving, he says, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, shortly after this event here, he says, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times. He still doesn't get it because he's full of himself, pride. He's powerful. He said, after Jesus tells him this, he says, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. I will even die with you or for you. I will not run away. So the rest of the disciples got a little bit encouraged too. And they wanted to be like Peter because they loved Jesus. They all spake the same thing. We will not deny you. So they came to the place, the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says to them, to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Now, the Bible speaks about two notable gardens. We know the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know the Garden of Eden. In one garden, the Garden of Eden, man took a fall. The second garden, the one we are speaking about, the one we are reading about, Jesus took a stand. Two different events. Two gardens. In the first one, man failed. He completely disobeyed God. And Jesus came to the second garden to take a stand, to fulfill the weakness and the sin of man. Where Adam was supposed to take a stand and be with God and obey God, when the serpent came to Eve, they were supposed to take a stand and said, no, God has told us, do not take of this one tree, everything else we can eat of. God gave the first man, Adam and Eve, everything. There was nothing that they would desire. They had joy. There was no pain, no death, no nothing. Just pure, pure pleasure. The beautiful pleasure as God intended them to live. With no fear, no worry, no sickness, no hunger, thirst. Only one commandment, and they failed. So Jesus had to come and fulfill that which was weak. So here he took a stand. In John we read when they came to take him. First Judas came with them and he told them, the one I will kiss, he's the one. Take him. You know, it's interesting. If we read through the whole New Testament, all the Gospels, not one place can we see that Judas called Jesus his Lord. Rest of the disciples did. Judas, not once. He did not call him Lord. But at this place, when he came, he says, Master, Master, Teacher. Was that fake or what? He loved the 30 pieces of silver. How much is that in this day? Doesn't matter. Could be millions. It's not, but it could be. Let's say, what did he do with that money? Nothing. Couldn't spend it, could not use it, did not do anything. As a matter of fact, he returned it back. He said they repented. He realized what he had done when he betrayed him. He took it back and gave it to them. They did not even take it. They bought the field for that money, 30 pieces of silver. But he was greedy. He wanted the money. Perhaps that's why he joined. It doesn't say anywhere how he joined the group. But he was the treasurer. He was the one that was taking care of the money. He was a thief. That's what the Bible says. So getting back to where he told his disciples to sit here while he goes and prays. He took with them John and James and Peter. And he realized he, as we hear, and Brother, you mentioned in prayer, he was in agony. He knew the time was approaching, was getting very close. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Watch and pray. So he went away a little bit from them, and he kneeled down on his knees, and he prays, Abba, Father, or Dear Father. He says, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Did he really want God to take away the cup from him? He's asking God to take the cup away from him. Even though he is the Son of God, he came in flesh. So he felt everything that we feel. Can we imagine going through what he went through? I cannot. I would be asking day and night to take this cup away from me. He knew what he has to go through. Be rejected by his own people, denied by his close disciple, betrayed by one of his disciples. They spit in his face, they mocked him, they slapped him, they made fun of him. And that wasn't enough. They wanted to do more. They made him carry the cross, and then they crucified him. And it wasn't a fast death. It was a slow, painful death. Just imagine you're hanging up in the air. The gravity is pulling your body down, and yet you have nails. Two pieces of wood and three nails nailed to your body. It's a slow, painful death. So yes, he knew that that was the reason he came. He loved this whole world. He came to save us. And yet, as a man, he asked if it's possible somehow to do something else, some other way. He felt the pain, agony. He says, began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. It was hard for him. It was very hard. Not that he did not want to save us, but the suffering, just unimaginable. But he did say, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. How many times we go through trials and tribulation, not even close to what Jesus went through, but we do go. And we ask God, how many times for the smallest things, something that we have to go through, we get anxiety, we get anxious, we fear. We're not even close to what Jesus is going through, and we ask God if it's possible somehow not to go through the trial and temptation or some kind of a problems that we have to endure. But let us always ask or tell God, not our will. Let God's will be done. He knows what's best. And he did, Jesus realized that that's the reason he came. But he was still very hard. And he comes back and he finds the apostles or disciples sleeping. It was at night. They were tired. They were sleeping. So he says to Peter, "Sleepest thou? You could not watch for 1 hour?" For the short time that he was praying, they could not even watch. Here he was so bold and strong and mighty. He's ready to die for Christ. Now he's sleeping. So he goes back and he tells them, "Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak." Sometimes our mind speaks, our heart speaks, and yet our flesh is weak. Just like Peter. So again, he went away and prayed and spake the same words. 3 times he went back and forth. And every time he comes back, they're sleeping. They were tired. So at the end, he tells them, "Sleep on now. Take your rest. Rest now." And then he says, "It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." And that's exactly what happened. "Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayed me is at hand." And as soon as he said that, here comes Judas. Judah comes with a great multitude, swords and staves, the chief priests and scribes, and from them, they sent them. So here Judah tells him, he gives him a token. He says, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." You know, when they, in the Gospel of, I believe, John, in all the Gospels, it's written about this event here before he was crucified. It says, when they came, even though Judah showed him by a kiss who he is, when they came to him, Jesus says, "Who are you looking for? Whom seek ye?" This is in John chapter 18. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth, we're looking for him." He says, "That's me, I am he." And what happened to the soldiers that came? They all fell back. They all fell to the ground. Every one of them. The power of him just saying, "I am he." Now when Jesus or God says, "I," it's power. When we say "I," we fail. We fall to the ground too. "I am he." And Judas was there too. I'm not sure if he fell down too. He should have. And they asked him again. They got up from the ground. Jesus says, "Whom seek ye?" And again they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Didn't they realize that he was the one? How did they fall? They didn't trip. They fell from the power that Jesus had. And he says, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, if you're looking for me, let these go their way." It says that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, "Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none except the son of perdition," Judah, the one that betrayed him. As they were about to take him, Peter, again being bold, loving Jesus, he's trying to protect him. He pulls out a sword. He's about to fight. He's about to protect Jesus. "This will not happen to you." He pulls out a sword and cuts off the ear of the one of the servants, the scribes, or someone's I'm not sure if he was a scribe servant or high priest. I think high priest servant. He cuts his ear off. He could have done worse. Now, here's another miracle that Jesus performed. First, he tells Peter, "Put that knife back in the sheath. Put it back. Whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword. Put it back where it belongs." Then he takes the ear that was cut off and heals the man right in front of everyone, heals the servant. Great miracle. You think they would believe and say, well, this is the Son of God. Who can heal not just the ear, but any sickness? Who can raise the dead? And Judah knew all this. And yet he's betraying him for the money, love of money. It's not the money, it's the love of money, the root cause of all evil. So he heals the servant, and they took him. And then as we know, we didn't read the rest, it's a very lengthy chapter, as we know that all the disciples were scattered. They ran away, all of them. Now Peter, he's following kind of far away. He wants to see what will happen. So he was outside, and yet, I think in John, it says that there was another disciple, which was John. He speaks about himself. He knew the high priest, and they let him in the gate. So John was able to go in with Jesus. And yet Peter was outside. So John tells the servant to let Peter inside. So they let him in. So he comes in. He wants to see. He loves Jesus. He wants to be close to him. And I'm sure he remembered what he said, how bold he was. So he comes in, and it was cold. He says that they had a fire, so he's warming himself with the rest of them. So the mate says, aren't you one of them? You were with Jesus. Nope, I do not know. I don't even know him. He's denying first time. Not just denying. Denying means you have nothing to do with that man, but you're lying to yourself, to the maid, to Jesus, to God. You're lying to everybody. Not once, three times. Where is his boldness? We know about Apostle Peter, so I'm not trying to say anything bad about him. That was just when he was weak. He had to grow in faith, as we all do. We have to grow. So someone else says, you are one of them. No, I do not know the man. He says, with the curse, he's telling, I have no idea who he is. Nothing to do with this man. He probably saw Jesus. Now we all know, when they were with Jesus, they felt strong, powerful. We read, it wasn't that long ago, when they were going to that Samaritan city and they didn't let him. So Peter, James, and John, especially James and John, the two brothers, says, why don't we ask God to send the fire and destroy these people? They felt powerful with Jesus. And here now, Jesus is taken away with soldiers. Now, Peter doesn't have anyone. He feels very weak. When you're with someone that's strong, you feel strong because that person is strong. When that person is gone, then you realize that you were nothing and nobody. So he probably felt a little bit alone. No master, no more power. And then someone else says, well, even your speech betrays you. You're from the north part of the Galilee. I do not know this man. Completely, completely denied him, like he never heard of Jesus. And then we know what happened. When Jesus actually looked at him, the cock crew, and then he realized what he has said then, just shortly, a few hours ago, and what he's saying now. So he went out and wept bitterly. He realized what he has done. I hope and pray when we do something, when we deny perhaps the presence of Jesus, or we feel a little bit ashamed maybe, which we shouldn't, if we're in the multitude of non-believers and we kind of want to fit in, like Peter was there warming himself with them just to kind of fit in. He doesn't know that man that's in front of high priest. He wants to blend in with the rest of them. You feel a little more secure. You're with them. I don't know him. I hope and pray we never feel that way, that we will always take a stand and say, I know my Savior. My Savior liveth. Never be ashamed of him. Never deny him in front of anyone. Sometimes it's hard if we are by ourselves, a great multitude of people at work, perhaps, that do not believe, and the way they speak, and if we kind of blend in just so we don't stand out, instead of showing that we are Christ's follower, that we are his disciples. You know, any place I worked at, I never had to tell anyone that I'm a Christian. They always knew. How did they know? The way I conduct myself, the way you conduct yourself, your speech, your actions, they can tell. I was approached many times, and I'm sure you were all, and asking if you're a believer because you act or look like a believer. You don't have to tell people, guess what, I'm a Christian. You have to live a life as a Christian. You don't have to be a spotlight. The light shines from within your heart. You cannot be hid. You cannot. Like the light cannot be hid. It has to shine. We have to be, as Brother mentioned, we don't have Jesus here today walking with us. So we have to be Jesus. We have to be his followers. We have to proclaim his name, his grace, his mercy, his love. We are his disciples. We are his students. So Peter wept bitterly. He realized what he has done. And Jesus did tell him, he said, Satan will sift you as a wheat, but I am praying for you that you will not fail. When he was converted, when he received the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can read so much about him, the power that he had when he did not trust in himself, but when he trusted in Jesus, when he trusted in God. Different man altogether. I hope and pray that even these few words that I was able to speak, there's so much more in this whole chapter that's written, and what Jesus has done for us and how he suffered, how he died for our sins, not just mine, the sins of the whole world. He died for everyone. And the doors of grace are still open. And we say this often, but the day is coming. And maybe you heard this before, the day is coming, the doors will be closed. If I knew when it will be, I would tell you, the doors will close at this date. Hurry up. Nobody knows, not even Jesus himself, it says, not even the angels. Don't wait. Those of you that are outside of God's grace and God's fold, do not wait. When he does close, nobody can open it. Not even angels can open the doors of grace when they're closed. How will they close? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter how the doors of grace will be closed. It might be slowly closing. It might close it once. Doesn't matter when the doors are closed. Have you tried to go inside somewhere where the doors are locked and closed and sealed? Even in Noah's time, he preached. He preached to them that the flood was coming. They mocked him. They didn't believe. When was the last time they saw a flood? When God sealed the door of the ark, not even Noah himself was able to open it. Nobody. So all those people probably realized it's raining. It's coming down. It's been raining. How many, 40 days, 40 nights? They probably wanted to get in on safety, I am sure. They were not mocking him then. But guess what? It was closed. It was too late. When it's too late, it's too late. So I hope and pray that we will find grace and that we will be obedient to God, listen to his words, love him, praise him, glorify him, obey his holy, most holy commandments, and that we will be faithful unto him as long as we live here on the face of this earth, so that we can all, as we are together now, that we can all together be in those heavenly mansions, so that we can continue forever and ever to praise him, to honor him, to live forever, and to love him forever. May God bless his word. Amen.
Great agony. And he wanted them to participate in this with him. They wanted him to be partakers of this and to pray with him and to watch with him as he goes through this great agony and great exceeding sorrow, being exceeding sorrowful. And when they fell asleep, he comes to them and he says, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. He's asking them, be here with me, stand, participate. Don't wander off in terms of falling asleep. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. And in the Pew Bible here, this verse references to Luke 21:36, and says, where Jesus says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. There are many things that come in our lives, and Jesus talks about that seed that grows and can be choked by the thorns of this life and the cares of this life. And if we're not watching and if we're not praying, our spiritual lives can be choked as well. And so he's telling us here, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Be alert. Be here with me. Watch with me. Pray with me. Be a part of this. And so we are being reminded as well. Jesus is speaking to us. Watch ye, therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen.